better.
Thank you.
Sorry, guys.
It's funny, we don't move it around, and the equipment just has a mind of its own. But welcome again to Christ Community Church. My name is Michael Rodriguez, lead pastor here. And so we're glad you guys are here. We're right in the middle of a teaching series called Arrival, right? You guys will kind of know what season is it, right? It's Christmas. Everybody's been shopping, probably gone to a couple of Christmas or gatherings already. So, but what we've been learning about in the last 4 weeks, and this is the fourth week of the series that we have, and it's called Arrival. And we talked a little bit about on the first week about what it meant, right? So we brought out our little Advent wreath, and we set up the four candles. And so now what I'm going to do is I'm going to light each one of them. The first week talked about the hope that we find in Jesus Christ in this season. The next one we talked about was peace and how Jesus is the Prince of Peace and how he gives us peace as he's coming. Last week we talked about joy, right? And today we're going to talk about love, right? And so how all four of these things come together during Christmas season as we prepare, right? You guys have been hearing me say it, that the word Advent stands for arrival or coming, right? From the Latin word for Adventus. But it's been, I would always say, right? It's been, this season is always really busy, right? A lot of hustle and bustle, right? A lot of things happening, kids programs, shopping, this and that. And it always feels like there's not enough time for everything. The whole reason for our series is just to really slow things down as a church to remember why we're celebrating what we celebrate, right, during the season. And you guys have heard the cliche and the line says that Jesus is what? The reason for the season, right? And so that's why we've been intentional. We've been on this series. And then next week we'll do one more. And it's just on Christmas, right? It's rightfully so. But before I continue on, my wife's going to remind me that I forgot to talk about the tithing, right? So one of the ways that, you know, we welcome you guys here, if you're a guest, then hey, you're a guest. If this is going to be your church home, we are encouraging you to support the church by giving online or tithing or supporting our church. The funds go to cover our costs at the end, really, in terms of facility and supplies. That's where it's at. So again, encourage you guys to do that. I'll talk some more. There'll be some more in the announcements that they'll cover that at the end. But the Christmas season. Now, today's message is called love, right? It's called love because at the end of the day, what do we see, right? When God sent us the perfect gift in his son, it really, all of these actions and everything that we have seen up to this point is all undergirded, right? Undergirded by what? By love. You guys know what a gird is? When they call it undergirded, it's like a faja, right? It's the thing that binds it all together, right? So what we're saying is, when you hear me say that word, it's like at the end of the day, everything that we're talking about is fastened together by God's love for us, right? And so we learned in the first week, we talked about, again, the hope that we find in Jesus. In the second week, we learned about the peace that we find. Last week, joy. And today, we're going to talk about love, right? Now, this is always kind of when you think about love, it's always kind of a loaded question, right? Because what do you guys, when you think about love, what do you guys immediately think of? What? A couples, right? You think about romance. You think about novelas or your favorite romantic movie, you know? Your spouse? Oh, that was good. Oh, congratulations. How many years? Wow, congratulations. 45-year anniversary. That's awesome. That's awesome. We're going to have to, you have to give us some tips later on how you did that. So just go with the flow. That's right. But the love that we see right now, again, we talk about this, right? The love that we oftentimes see in the culture is not the kind of love that we're talking about in terms of God's love, right? The love that you see sometimes in the culture is what? More of, it's like, I love at first sight. It's kind of a superficial thing. Like, oh, Joey, I love your shoes. I love your hair. It's a word that gets thrown out a lot, right? And it gets, the more you use it, the meaning doesn't have the same effect, right? But today we're going to study about what God's love is and the type of love that he has for us. And so before I begin, what I really want to talk about is what, you know, we talked about, even in my introduction, and when we were talking about Mary, did you know, about what it really meant and what it was going to cost our Heavenly Father to send His Son down for us, right? And so we'll talk some more a little bit about that. And really, contrary to, in the contrast that I was saying about the culture, the love that we have that God has for us is a perfect love. And I'm going to go on to show you guys how it's actually a sacrificial love and why that matters and why it's different. But the first thing we're going to talk about is the first scripture that I'm going to read for you guys today. And you guys all know this one. It's very, you have it memorized. Some of you guys maybe have it tattooed somewhere on your body, maybe not. But it's John 3:16. It says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And you've heard this one before, right? I told you guys, I think I've shared with you guys, before I was connected with the church, or I didn't even know, I would always see the John 3:16. It was Stone Cold Steve Austin. You guys remember that? He was a wrestler. And I was like, what is that? Like, I just know he was not a good role model, but that's my first encounter with that scripture was with WWE, right? Which is not good. But what it really means to us, right, is that we've seen it displayed. A lot of people know it by heart. But what we're going to break down is a couple of things, because it's really important, right, for us to understand really what that means, right? So the first thing that I'm going to tell you guys, and it's in our fill in the blank. Actually, let me go back to my wife is telling me that I need to put numbers on my sermon outlines. But number one, God demonstrates His love for us by giving us His one and only Son, right? You guys, we already covered that in John 3:16. God demonstrates His love for us by giving us His one and only Son, right? And the second thing I want to talk about to you guys is in that scripture, right? I'm going to give it to you guys right now. The fill in the blank. Our Heavenly Father models and shows us that love requires action and sacrifice. It requires action and sacrifice. Now, the reason why I say that is because oftentimes in the culture or even in our own lives, right, how do we approach love in our lives? Anybody? Is it something that you guys do? It's like it comes naturally. You're like Jesus. You're like God. You're like, I just love you unconditionally. Usually the type of love that we have has what? It comes with conditions. It comes with, what did you say? It comes with boundaries, right? But oftentimes what we find out is that the love that we see in the world is not the kind of love that we have where it's almost like in our own terms, right? It's like, I'll do this if. If you do, right, then you'll, does that make sense? It's almost like a barter when we treat relationships, when we treat love. But that's not the kind of love that we see God give us, right? And so the first thing I want to point out is in that scripture that even though God has authority, right, and He is God, He does what? He takes action first, right? Which is the opposite of sometimes when we approach love, we approach it as what? I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait for the other person. Does that make sense? Usually it's like, no, and particularly if you get into conflict, right? I always say this is part where it gets kind of interesting, where, you know, it's like, is the camera on my house or whatever? No, I don't. We're not spying on you guys. But generally speaking, in our human nature and our flesh, right, we tend to negotiate, right? And so the negotiation is usually like, I'm going to wait until she says sorry to me because I was right. I'm going to wait until he, right, recognizes. I'm going to wait until he is more appreciative of me. I'm going to wait until, does that make sense? You have a conflict with your kids. Maybe they say, I'm going to wait until they don't know, like, man, the sacrifice that I do, they never say thank you. I'm going to wait until, I'm going to stop. Does that sound familiar to you guys at all? But God doesn't do that, right? Now here's God, and God, the Heavenly Father, right, is in perfect unity and communion with His Son and the Holy Spirit. And He sees a world that is what? Broken, right? And then He says, in John 3:16, He says, for what? For God so loved the world that He sent His one and only Son. Here's my thing to you, right? If you think, right, that understanding love is waiting or for the other person to come to you or for the other person to, I would say even submit to your rules or what your expectations are, you're approaching this all the wrong way. Right? Because God is the ultimate authority, the creator of the universe, right? And He models what? That when you love sacrificially, you have to take action.
He doesn't wait, right? So for some of us, and I tell this to, this may not be popular, right? But even those of us that are parents in the room, sometimes we always say, whose responsibility is it to go and make amends when things are not working right? Whose responsibility is it? Is it our teenage kids who they're like all up in their emotions? And is it their responsibility? It's not, guys. And here's a message to the men in the room. God has made us men and given us spiritual authority as well in the relationship. Read the Bible. I'm not going to get into all this. We have different roles to play. We're equal in value in the relationship. But God has given us authority, right? And sometimes we don't want to. But just like we just see that God models that when you have authority, you have responsibility. So you're not going to want to hear this, guys. But when there's a conflict, guess whose job it is to reconcile it? It's not your spouse's. It's not your wife's. It's our job. Why? Because we're men. And just very similar, the same way that God, the same way that says, I'm going to take action, I'm not going to wait, because there's no other way. If God hadn't sent his son, how are we going to ever be able to reconcile with the holy God? Never. Never, right? And so, again, when we talk about the type of love that God models for us, it talks about action and sacrifice, right? Now, outside of that, that's what we see God modeling in love. Not the world, right? The world is like, if you do this, I'll do that. Tick for tack, right? It's counting scores a little bit. But that's not what God is showing us today. There's a story, actually, if you guys... it's not a story. This really happened. Back in 1993, I don't know if you guys remember. Some of you guys, I might have been, in eighth grade? Man, I'm old now. But if you guys remember, one of the deadliest, there was actually a really bad train crash. I can't walk over here. That happened in Alabama. I don't know if you guys remember that. It was an Amtrak train that got derailed. Have you guys remembered any? Sound familiar? Some of you guys weren't even born yet, so you're like, I have no idea what you're talking about. There was an Amtrak train that got derailed, right? Long story short, there was a young family that got into the train. It was a little girl, an 11-year-old, and her parents were traveling. They hopped on a train in Florida, and it was called the Sunset Express. They were going to go see her family in Mississippi. And the little girl was really excited. It was her first time on the train. Now, the little girl, she was adopted. She was 11 years old, and she had cerebral palsy. You guys know what that is? It's a neurological condition where most folks are, when they have that, they're diagnosed with it, and they usually have motor deficiencies. What that means is they have a hard time walking. They have a hard time sometimes grasping different things. Oftentimes, they're in a wheelchair for most of their life. This is an 11-year-old little girl. Her parents adopted when she was 2 weeks old, and she got onto, they were going to go visit the family, right, in Mississippi. Unfortunately, this was on September 21st, 1993, right around 2 o'clock in the morning, actually about 2:38, it was foggy, and this particular train, the Amtrak train, had to cross over a bridge, right, between two pieces of, to cross over a river. And there was a tugboat driver that got lost in the fog. He was pulling a bunch of barges, and what ended up happening is he hit one of the pillars on the bridge, and the bridge actually moved 3 feet. However, the tracks didn't break, right? So 8 minutes later, guys, the train is barreling down at 72 miles per hour, right? There's 200-plus people on the train, and guess what do you think happened? It derailed, right? It derailed. Now, there's a story that came out of it. The reason why I was telling you about that is immediately when they cut across, there was three trains that come across, started to fill up. There was two passenger trains, one on the top, one on the bottom. The little girl and her family, right, because they couldn't, because of the wheelchair, were on, where do you think they were? They were on the bottom, right? And so as the accident happened at 2:42 in the morning, there's fire, there's oil, there's darkness, the cabin's filling with water, right? There's somebody by the name, his name is Ken Ivory, was one of the passengers on the top train, right? And he was doing everything he could to get people out from the bottom. And he remembers that there was two people that were stuck in the bottom. The water was coming in, and they thrust an 11-year-old little girl up to him. And as they did that, the cabin filled with water, and those two people died, right? And the little girl survived. Now, the people that ultimately gave their life to save the little girl was the parents. Right? Parents sacrifice everything to save her life. And how do you explain that how do you explain that type of love, right? And so what I'm trying to say is, when we look at John 3:16, I mean, sometimes we go by and we read it really quickly and we say, yeah, God sent his son. He gave his only son, right? We have to really understand what that sacrifice means. He gave his son, right? He had perfect harmony and unity so that we could know him. Those parents gave everything for that little girl, right? And if you looked at it from the world's perspective, you would say, why would they save themselves? The world would say, what? She's broken, I'll be honest with you, right? She's not going to be able to work. She's in a wheelchair. But the parents, right, they love sacrificially that they gave their life so that she could live. And she's still alive today. So here's what we're trying to say, right? Applying that message to the scripture today. That God loves us like that, guys. And we're talking about now, when we fast forward, the sacrifice that Jesus had to make, right? That he came. Yes, he was born in a manger, but ultimately we know that he was coming, right? To be born, to be put on a cross, to pay the ultimate sacrifice for us so that we might have a way to have a relationship with the Father. The next passage of scripture we're going to read is out of 1 John chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you want to turn there. 1 John chapter 4, or you can follow along, but I'm going to read a good chunk of section there. 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to start reading in verse 7. So 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. And it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And this is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and he is in us. He has given us his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so when we know and rely on the love of God for us. For God is love, and whoever lives in love lives in God, and God is in them." Amen? And that's really, if you talk about switching gears, right? We talk about the advent, the coming of love. We talk about, again, it's spelled out for us right there in verse 14. Actually, in 13. I'm sorry. I really need to label my script. See, listen to your wife, guys. That was the trick. Go with the flow. Listen to your wife. Verse 10 tells us in point blank. It's probably the foundation. Obviously, John 3:16 for this message, but verse 10 tells us, "This is love, not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Right. The reality of it is that every one of us, we're flawed. We're broken, and then when we study, the more we get into God's Word. His word tells us that God is holy and perfect and good, right? And there's no way that sinners like us could ever have a way back to God without him acting first, without his sending his Son to atone for our sins, right? And the other thing, right, again, that as we talk about this Christmas season, right, that Jesus really is, again, that perfect gift. We have to really understand and wrap our arms around that. Last week I challenged you guys. I said, what are we doing with the gift? And have we received it? The scripture that we read today actually even brings that point up. And it says that number three, right, in the fill in the blank, says we receive the gift when we acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. When we acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. Because everybody's comfortable, right, talking about Christmas. I shared this last week. Everybody's comfortable with the gifts. Everybody's comfortable with Christmas so long as you leave Jesus out of it. Everybody wants to have parties. Everybody wants to have gifts. Everybody wants to do all kinds of different things. But if you leave, but just don't bring Jesus into it. The irony, as I shared last week, is that the word Christmas is, it's Christ and Mass, more Jesus. And so what is our challenge, right, as believers? If we celebrate the love that we have in Him, in the one who sent His Son to die for us, right, that we need to continue to bring it back to the reason why we're celebrating, celebrate Christmas. It's the baby. Yeah, it's the manger. It's that scene. But it is really about accepting the gift that we have in Jesus Christ in our life. And then secondly, the challenge that comes with it. So you've been saved, you know, Jesus Christ. What are you going to do about it? Is it good enough just to say, like, I'm saved, you know, and the rest of my neighbors, my friends, my family, well, they can figure it out. They're on their own. You guys have heard me say this before. Nobody preached more about heaven and hell than Jesus Christ Himself. In fact, more oftentimes about hell. And the reality is that we have to be concerned, right, with the well-being of and the eternal resting place of our friends and family at the end of the day, right? And even the people who don't. Even people who don't believe. Because Jesus is very clear and God is very clear that He sent His Son, right? It doesn't say, right, for God so loved only Joey that He sent His only Son. That He only loved the Rodriguez family and the Mora family, right? The Cervantes family. It didn't say that. He said He loved the whole world, right? And so our challenge is, how are we going to be effective, right, to share the gift and the good news of who we have in Jesus Christ? Every one of us here, right, has an amazing testimony to tell about what God has pulled you out of. Yes. It's your story. It doesn't get more real than that. And the thing about it is, like, as we're going through even the Christmas season, we have to sometimes, to be quite honest with you, be okay with being uncomfortable to share the good news of who Jesus is. Because if we don't do it, who else is going to do it? The world's not going to tell them that. The world's going to say, shh, I don't want to hear about Jesus. Go back to your closet, Christian. The world is upside down right now, guys. It's everything is fine, right? We're almost to the point now where we can highlight sin, right? It's okay. It's my own belief. You believe what you believe. I'm going to believe what I believe. I even hear, God made me this way as justification for how people live sinful lives. And I'm not here to be a hypocrite. I'm not perfect, guys, but what we are called to do is to tell the truth, right, about who God is, and that there is a heaven and a hell, and that there is a sense of urgency about how we pursue this. And we do it in a way that is what? Undergirded, right? Put the faha on. Not the religious way. Undergirded with love, guys. Everything that we do has to be out of love. And at the end of the day, right, it's your own testimony that is going to bring more people, I'll be honest with you. Yeah, we're doing things to grow the church here, like, you know, we're doing events, the social media things. It's the people. It's the one-on-one. It's the relationship. Because God is a God of relationship. And yeah, we're going to keep doing some of those things, but at the end of the day, it's the one-on-one conversations, right? It's the testimony that God has done, what He's brought us out of, that really brings all of this to life at the end of the day. And so as we go back to, right, receiving the gift, yeah, we do have to acknowledge that He is the Son of God. That's countercultural. And be prepared that it might cost you something. For me, it's cost me some friends, I'll be quite honest with you. It's cost me some friends because I can't just be quiet and just say, no, it's okay. When you stand on what God wants you to share and stand on His values, the world is not going to like you. right? In fact, you've heard it said that if the enemy is not attacking you, it's because you mean you're in his corner. You're not even like, doesn't have to worry, but why am I going to attack this guy? He's no threat to me, right? So when we're standing firm on what this God's word says, let's not be surprised that we're going to get attacked, guys. Of course we are. We're fighting the principalities of evil and darkness, right? Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that. So we should be ready. We talked about this back in November when we put on the full armor of God. And as we acknowledge that, right, and we just stand firm on what he says, ultimately, here's the big picture, that it's not even about us. It's really about what God can do through us for his honor and for his glory and for his kingdom. We get to participate. We get to be invited, right? We've received the gift. And at the end of the day, for example, we get to share the good news of who he is. The fourth fill in the blank says that we get to share the love of God with others by testifying that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. The reality is that every one of us, right, we are made with a heart. We're made in his image and his likeness, and every one of us, we're worshiping something, right? We're either worshiping God or we're worshiping an idol. We're worshiping somebody else. The biggest idol right now, you guys know, is Taylor Swift, right? She's the biggest idol there is. People are worshiping her, but she's not God. She's a created being. I don't even know any of her songs, so. That's a true story. I couldn't tell you. I don't have no bracelets. So. I hear about them, though. Listen, at the end of the day, guys, just here for Christmas, right? I go back to the season. We really have been given, and I can't say this enough, right? Sacrificially. The way that I shared in that earlier example of parents' love. And that's just human love. I'm not even talking about the kind of love that God has for each one of us. I mean, to me is, you know, I read John 3:16, and I didn't have the context for it until I became a dad. Right, and when I became a dad, it totally transformed that word and that scripture, because I didn't get it. I've read it, and it's like, yeah, God gave his son for me. But it wasn't until I had my own son, right? He's the guy that's behind the curtain. He's bigger than me now. He's like the gentle giant in our life. And you heard me say this before, I wouldn't change it for anything else, right? And it's different. We have a special needs kid. He's autistic. Our two other boys are somewhat on the spectrum too. But we love every single one of them, right? It doesn't matter. That's a flawed love from a father. That's a flawed love from a mom. But what about a perfect love that the Heavenly Father for us has for each one of us, right? And how he willingly surrenders his son, who's also God. I mean, wrap your brain around that. Now I've said it, I'm going to keep saying it because I'm a selfish man, I love my kid, I wouldn't give him up for any one of you guys, right? Just being honest with you, that's being completely honest. But at the end of the day, right, what we celebrate at Christmas time is that God gave us the perfect gift in his son. And we get to receive that gift. And when you get it, and God invites you to be a part of his family, a part of his kingdom, and then you get to build it, you get to share the good news of who he is. What else do you want to do with your life, guys? All the things that we chase after, the things that we do, those are just titles. At the end of the day, what we do to bring more souls to Jesus Christ and to the God the Father is the only thing that matters. Really. That's what we're going to be looking at. And at the end of the day, each one of us, right? That's the question. What did you do with the perfect gift? Because sometimes you receive for Christmas gifts, yeah? And sometimes what do you do with those gifts? Do you use all of them? We're blessed. I mean, sometimes we're like, oh, I didn't like that sweater. It was ugly. Yeah, I don't know what she was thinking when she bought me that. But that person still sacrificed, right? I heard it over here. Exactly. You re-gift it, right? People are like, oh, that doesn't fit me. I'm going to get somebody's birthday. That's for somebody's birthday's coming up. Right? It is the thought that counts, right? But here's the deal. We have the perfect gift in Jesus Christ, guys. And it is for us to accept it and to dig into that relationship, because at the end of the day, it's all that matters. And out of that relationship, I always say, man, the overflow. And it's not because we are looking for the I'm always very careful about when I get up here and I talk about what it means and the abundant life that God has for it, promised us. We're not seeking the blessing. We're not here to preach a health and wealth gospel. If you do this, you'll get that. If I was watching TBN one time and I was like, man, this preacher's really good. That's the Bible Network. It's in the 600s when you're on DirecTV. And this guy was preaching this amazing word. And he's like, oh, yeah, this and that. And I'm like reading all kinds of scripture. And I was like, I was really into it. And then finally at the end, he's all, and all that you have to do right now is send me $1,000 and your miracle is going to happen to you right now. I'm claiming it in your $1,000 I'm going to take, and the miracle of heaven is going to transform and come down, health, wealth, and everything that you desire. And I was like, this guy made my blood boil, right? And I was like, you snake. But that's not what we're selling here. We're not seeking God for the blessing. When we accept Jesus Christ in our life, we get Jesus Christ, guys. And then from that, I always say the relationship is restored with our Heavenly Father through the Holy Spirit, right? Acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord, everything else gets added unto us, right? It's our foundational verse here at this church, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. And that's really what our hope and desire is for the church, is that we accept the gift of Jesus Christ, right? And that we do everything we can, right, to know Him, to really know Him in a way that is intimate, that we spend time with Him, and that we share the good news of who He is and we make Him known to our friends and family and to community abroad. So, next week we're gonna have our Christmas Eve service. We are gonna have communion. So we always say it's one time. We're pretty casual at the church. We would say that this might be a good time to dress up too. But don't wear white, because we're going to have pozole afterwards too. So that's going to get all kinds of splashed. But we invite you guys to invite your friends and family, right? A lot of people do have Christmas Eve things going on. We get it. But it's a good opportunity to come, right? I say a lot of times this is the season where a lot of folks, you're going to get the we call the EC believers, right? The Easter and the Christmas. So it's a good opportunity to invite them. Right, just to kind of have them kind of come, share worship with us, have communion with us, and then share a meal afterwards, right? And so we're, as a church, right, we're going to keep inviting, keep sharing the good news of who Jesus is. And we'll be faithful to it, right? And we just stand back and see what God is going to do through our obedience. Amen? I'm going to ask Jose to come up, and I'm going to start getting ready to close us up in prayer. And again, this is, and I keep saying it, right? A Savior has been born, right? This is in Luke. I'm going to actually read that passage before I close. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 11 and 14, as today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you that you'll find the baby wrapped in a manger, lying in a manger. Then suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace unto those whom his favor rests. Right? And that's what we're here to celebrate. As we continue on, right? I know you still got a lot of activity to do. I know some of you haven't started your Christmas shopping. Right? Guilty. But I'm a Costco, Walmart, and what else? Target guy. Those are the three, and I'm usually done. So, what that has to do with the message? Nothing. But all to say is there's still some busyness. But guys, let's stay focused on what God has called us to do. Accept the gift that we find in Him. He is the good news. He is the perfect peace. And what we want to do is we want to receive the gift. And then it's not enough, My cousin said it right. This is the gift that you want to re-gift, right? The good news is that you get to keep it, and then you get to share the good news of who he is, right? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you again for who you are, Lord. We thank you for the perfect gift that you sent your son, your one and only son, Lord, out of your immense love for us. We don't deserve it. We deserve your wrath and we deserve your justice, but you are a God that loves and that sacrifices, and that you chose to send your son down to be born in the most humble situation and circumstance, to be born in a manger, not in a palace, not in this great place, but something that every one of us could understand, the sacrifice and what it meant. Lord, we don't deserve it. Thank you again for your love for us. Thank you for your love that is not with conditions, that you love us first. And then it's for us to accept and acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is who says he is, that he came to fulfill all the prophecies and fulfill the law in the Old Testament, just like he said when he was here in his earthly ministry. Father God, thank you again, Lord, for your love for us. Thank you for the gift that we have. And just, Lord God, I just pray, Lord God, right now, Lord, you came, Lord God, so we would not be enslaved to sin, Lord. You came so that we would have a way, Lord, to have victory in your name, Lord. So right now, I know in a room with this many people in it, Lord, some of us might be going through something. We might be having a struggle. There is some pain, some heartache, some conflict, maybe even some addiction, some relationships that need to be restored. Lord, it is my prayer right now, Lord, that we would accept the gift that we find in you, Lord God. And in that we have peace and hope and love and joy. And sometimes the things that we need to repent of our sinful nature. We do. Every day we need to. And Lord, it's my prayer this morning, Lord, that if that's where we are, if that's us, Lord, that we would just turn away and accept and acknowledge who you are. And just, again, sometimes even as believers, we wander off a little bit and we want to be the Lord of our own lives. But Lord Jesus, this morning, we want you to be the Lord of our life. We want to make time for you. We don't want to take the perfect gift and just put it in a box or put it aside. We want to share that. We want to live and enjoy that, Lord. So just thank you again, Lord. If that's the day, Lord, I just pray right now that we would just stop. Lord, your love is a perfect love, Lord God. And this, what you tell us here in your word and in your Bible, Lord, is for our own good. It's because you love us. You're not trying to take anything away from us. You're trying to give us everything, Lord God. And it begins with you. It begins with saying yes to you, Lord Jesus. If there's somebody here that maybe hasn't accepted Jesus Christ, maybe is not quite sure where they are in their walk and relationship, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right now. Raise your hand if you've heard Jesus, or maybe if you're in a place that you want to just recommit your life to him this morning. Maybe you haven't been spending time. Maybe you have acknowledged Jesus Christ in his rightful place in your life. And if you do that today, I just want you to raise your hand. Father God, thank you for the salvation that's already here. Thank you for just who you are, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. I just pray as we get into this busyness of this season that we stay focused on who you are, Lord Jesus, that you can be at the center of our lives, Lord God. Lord, I just pray that you meet us where we are. Where we are flawed, Lord God, and we need you every single day, Lord. But if it's just one step at a time to draw closer to you, Lord God, and a fellowship with believers, help us to do that, Lord God. Help us as a church body to be your hands and your feet, to share the good news of who you are, just to stop. And sometimes to be okay to interrupt, to share the good news and share the testimony of what you've done in our own lives, Lord God. And help it always to be undergirded with love, Lord. Help us to model the love that you have for us, that you want us to take action and you want us to sacrifice. And sometimes that's moving us out of our comfort zone. We can sacrifice if it means that we can change somebody's eternity, Lord God. And where their soul is going to rest, Lord God. Help us to be bold for you, Lord Jesus, to share the good news of who you are, that you are the good and perfect Son of God. Lord God, thank you again, Lord. I just pray again that you would just be with us, guide us, protect us, watch over our families and our homes, Lord God. Some of us, some of our kids are already on spring, are on Christmas break, Lord. Bless them, protect them. Keep us all safe, Lord God, from the attacks of the enemy, Lord, and just help us to continue to do what you called us to do, Lord God. Really, we just want to know you and to make you known, Lord Jesus. Thank you again for who you are. Continue to guide us, Lord God, and bless us next week as we come together in communion, as we come together in fellowship, and really just to close out this whole series about who you are, Lord, celebrating the goodness of why you came, Lord God. We love you. Jesus Christ. Amen.